May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to encounter the reading of your Holy Scriptures and Holy Gospel. Lord, we thank you for this time to reflect deeper on your Holy Word. Lord, without your Holy Spirit, we don't have understanding. These words, whatever they are, no matter how great and how powerfully delivered, they don't reach the heart. And so, Lord, we pray that these words may indeed not be mine, but yours, and that all of our hearts and ears, including my own, may be open to the message. Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, Mark has a unique temptation narrative. So if you look at the different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that contain this story, Mark's is really different. It has no actual dialogue between Jesus and the devil in the wilderness. It has, no script and specific temptations that we see being given to Jesus by the devil. And the thing that's most unique about it is it says that Jesus is out there with the wild beast. And that's not mentioned in the other ones. That's unique to the Gospel of Mark, and that's in verse 13 of chapter 1. And of course, this is the Judean wilderness. As Finn said, it looks a lot more like a desert. And the animals or beasts that lived out there at the time were things like wolves, foxes, leopards, hyenas, wild donkeys, gazelles, and ostriches. My thought was, were these animals that were out there, were they more of a comfort for Jesus or a concern? And, because when I've been backpacking, there's only a few times that I've gone just on my own. Throw everything into your pack and you head out in the wilderness for a few days just on your own. And the times that I've done that, it's really produce some different results in terms of animals than when I've been with a group. Once I get everything kind of fixed at camp and I got the fire going and I grab a good book and start to read, especially during the day, everything has been silent. I don't see any animals during all that noise making and bustle. But once I sit down and start reading and everything gets quiet, after about a half hour, animals start to come around, especially birds, a lot of them, but other things too, squirrels, and I hear other larger animals out there. So, that was a comfort to me. I liked that. That was something I liked about being out there alone. But when I started researching this Greek word for beast, that is only occurs in the Gospel of Mark, but it's elsewhere in the New Testament. Almost every reference in the New Testament seems to indicate that these animals may not have been a comfort, but more a concern. In the book of Titus, which Paul writes, wild beasts are compared to brutish people, and the cruelty of sin that they inflict in their violence upon others. And then in the book of Revelation, wild beasts are the henchmen of the pale rider, whose name is death. And hell follows with him. And so, not super positive, comforting images for these animals, these beasts, in the rest of the New Testament. And so, what could they mean? What could Mark mean by including them? He could just be literal. The literal animals I listed, that's who is out there with Jesus. But there could be another thing that Mark is doing, and that is that these wild beasts represent something, as they did in the rest of the New Testament. You know, if you look at that picture on the front of your bulletin, as we talked about in the children's sermon, it's not a super inviting place. That's probably about the best picture of it you could have in terms of beauty. But to think about living there for 40 days would be something else. And the challenges that you might face there. And that list of animals that I mentioned, some of those were pretty large predators in there, especially things like leopards and wolves and maybe even hyenas. And so I think these animals could be more a cause for concern than comfort for Jesus. So one of the questions that comes up is, you know, why here? Why does the Spirit lead him here? Why is this the place of temptation for Jesus? And I wonder if part of it is because it's out of the way. Part of it is because it is so harsh and there won't be anybody there. Part of it is because Jesus is supposed to be alone. Perhaps that's when temptations are most powerful, when we're alone. You know, I've read a lot of stories about people during COVID who all of a sudden were home alone during those long months, and sometimes for a long time. And it affected people in a lot of different ways from a health perspective and a mental health perspective. And a lot of them weren't positive. And so being alone can open the door to a lot of temptations and a lot of challenges. And so perhaps that is part of why Jesus went to such a harsh place. No one else would be there. And Jesus, remember, is looking to atone for all of our sins. And so Jesus is going to go to the hardest place, the toughest place, to endure these temptations so that we have someone who goes before. We have someone that goes with us, who knows the worst of the worst, has been to the worst of the worst, and can get us through. And so perhaps that's part of what's going on with this choice of a place, the Judean wilderness. You know, movie stars, whether it's COVID or not, they have a lot of time on their hands when they're not, you know, working on a movie and not on set. And some deal well with that, but others don't. And you know, I think having a routine, even though it sounds, you know, bad to us, I can attest, I'm someone that when that routine is gone, I struggle with it a little bit. And so, you know, in the season of Lent, what's one thing that's great about it is we take those times in which we're alone. We take those times in which we have that are spare, and we're adding a new routine to them. Maybe it's, you know, scripture reading. Maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's a devotion. Could be a lot of things. Maybe it's watching The Chosen. But all of those times and routines and practices can be extremely valuable when we're alone, because those are a way to be with God, because we're not ever apart from him. And we're apart from others, and that's important to do that at some point, to be apart from human communities at times. It's always important to come back, of course, as well, but we're never away from God. And so Jesus is gone to be alone with these wild beasts. I wonder if one metaphor for them, or one meaning for them, besides the literal beasts that were there, is sin and death. And that seems to be consistent with the references in the rest of the New Testament. Jesus went here. The Spirit led him, it says. And so Jesus is supposed to be here. And so I think this is a part of the mission of salvation, to atone for all sin, as I mentioned, and to ultimately be a help to us in our harshest places and harshest moments in our lives. And then also, I think this may have been important for Jesus' mission himself, because there would be a time later on the cross in which Jesus would be completely alone, because the scriptures say that even the Father abandoned him in those moments, again, to cover all sin. And perhaps this was training for that even harsher moment on the cross in which he would be completely alone. You know, we talked about this before, that Satan's name means, it comes from a verb that means to hide. And so one of the things that the devil loves to do in tempting us is to do things unexpectedly, to do things undercover. If you know, if he came out as the guy we see in the, you know, in the movies with red horns and stuff, well, none of us would fall for that, right? We're not going to fall for that. Much more subtle. Much more, you know, under the cover. And he hides in how he gets us. And so the temptations can come in a moment. We don't plan for them. They're there. Like I talked about the Finn when he went inside, let's say, in this hypothetical. He didn't go inside because the teacher had left the test there. He just happened to find it when he went in. And you got that temptation in the moment before all the kids and the teacher comes back. And that, you know, catching you unexpected like that. One time when I was backpacking with a friend in Seattle, we went to Mount Rainier National Park. And it was a really beautiful place. It's the only time I've been there. And we backpacked into Mount Rainier. We spent the night out there. And then we came back and we were hiking out, and the trail out is, you know, pretty windy and bends a lot, and you can't, you know, see what's coming down the trail. And we came around the corner, and there in front of us, 15 feet in front of us, was a very large mother bear and her two cubs. And these cubs were little. And to make it worse, behind the trail was like a cliff. And so we had kind of surprised the mother and trapped her there with only a cliff beside her. And so she just turned around and sat down with the cliff to her back and her face to us. And the little cubs came and sat beside her. And she waited for what we were going to do. Who knows what? I wouldn't want to find out what we would have done if we have just tried to walk by her. We didn't do that, thank goodness. And my friend was, you know, I was kind of caught up in the moment, you know, because I love wildlife. And so this was kind of, I wasn't as scared as I should have been, you know. I was kind of excited to see this mother bear and her two cubs. And he had a much better present mind about himself. And he raised his hands and started yelling. And then I joined in after that. And she turned around and ran the other way down the trail. It was the only way out besides the cliff or towards us. And she ran away. And I tell that story because it was an encounter with a wild beast out there, right in the wild, in the wilderness. And it was unexpected. We didn't plan to see a mother bear and two cubs like that. And I've never had an experience like that anywhere else. But we did that day, and it came around on a blind curve, 15 feet in front of us. And that's how our temptations and sins that we're tempted to commit come to us, I think, oftentimes, because that's kind of the devil's nature. He likes to hide. He likes to be unexpected, likes to put us in that moment when perhaps we are weakest. Daniel. Daniel's another person who encountered some wild beast and did so alone. And, of course, you know the story of the lion's den. And he was thrown in that den for breaking a rule that some jealous governors, fellow governors of his, made with the king, that he should not pray to, no one could pray to anyone except the king for 30 days. Well, Daniel wasn't doing that because he prayed to God every three times a day. And he went ahead and did that anyways. Well, they turn him in. The king realizes what these governors are up to. He likes Daniel, but he feels like he has to stay committed to what he has written in the law. And so he takes Daniel and he puts him down in the lion's den, and he fasts all night the king does, praying that Daniel's God will save him from these lions. And the next morning he runs out and he opens up the cover of the lion's den. Let's go to the scripture here. This is Daniel 6, 3 and 4. This is a little background about the trick. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and governors by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the governors tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in the conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him. And that's when they came up with this plan. And then skipping over to verse 22 and 23. My God, this is the king. Let's go back just a little bit. Daniel, said the king, servant of living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I done anything wrong to you, your majesty. And so, I think this is an important reminder to know that even when we're in the Judean wilderness, the equivalent of that, even when we're in the lion's den, that we're never completely alone because of Jesus Christ, who has gone before us. And we can cry out in prayer to him as the king did, as Daniel did, and he will be with us. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that those who are afraid to be alone can never truly be in community. And those who are afraid to be in community should beware of being alone, that they go together, that in when we're alone, there's the silence, and when we're together, there's speech, and that they complement each other, and that we need both times. You know, Sundays are a chance for us to be together, maybe Wednesday Bible studies like we have coming up. But the alone part is important too, and it's an important part of our walks. And that's part of what's happening in Lent. We're doing things together, growing as a church and as a body, but also in our walks with him. So don't fear the alone time, because God is always with us, and he never leaves us. You know, there's something that Jesus else was battling out there besides sin and temptation, if that's what these wild beasts really do represent. And that, of course, is death. Because when we think about our deaths, you know, even though we hope to have loved ones around us who love us, and oftentimes, you know, that is the case. Sometimes it's not. But regardless, you know, they can't die for us. Everybody's got to die on their own. And so, and that's, again, with family, of course, it's with God. But still, we've got to die, and we've got to do it alone in that sense. And so perhaps one thing that Jesus was battling out there, besides temptation and sin, was also the power of death to grip us in fear. Because I think that's part of death's most powerful thing, is we're afraid of it. And Jesus was at work in the desert to deliver us from that fear, to let us know we're not alone, and to let us know that with him, we can conquer that fear of death as well. That we have an advocate, that we have a brother in Jesus Christ. We have a Savior who has been there in the worst of it, and done that. And he's going to be with us, whether it's temptation, whether it's sin, and also powerfully in our deaths. Amen.